Never shall I forget the picture that greeted my eyes as I stood upon what seemed to be a boundary line between the material universe and the world of angels and spirits. I could see the mighty universe pass before me not like a panorama, for it did not pass out of my sight for an instant. There I could see the sun in all its heat and magnitude, a great sphere of blazing light, larger than anything I had ever imagined. Then the planets and millions of stars of more colors and tints than it is possible for the material mind to comprehend. They certainly did look very beautiful. One brilliant blue star many times larger than a house would be set in the center of a circle of twinkling rose-colored satellites. Then there would be clusters of bright green stars surrounded by larger clusters of yellow stars, and these would be encircled by deep red stars that flashed and twinkled in a thousand vibrations. Then I could see how the vibrations of the stars and the atmosphere around them had its effect upon the people of the physical plane, for some active stars were sending out vibrations that I could see strike the Earth many millions of miles away. I could see what effect intense vibrations from the planet Mars had upon the people of the Earth, as well as the blue vibrations from Saturn. Venus sent out pink vibrations and those from the Sun were both red and yellow, and from other planets the vibrations would be white, and when two vibrations crossed as they were sent to the Earth there was apparent to be disturbance of some kind in the Earth's atmosphere, and sometimes thousands of vibrations would strike the minds of men, causing them to get into a state of intense excitement, not knowing how such conditions existed. I thought the moon a very queer-looking place with its hollow volcanic mountains and its peculiar wind blowing continually. I thought the picture of the universe, the stars and the constellations, the comets and flashes of light, meteorites and many other sights lost to the material eye the most beautiful and wonderful sight it had ever been my lot to witness. It was night to the people of the material plane, but not to me, a spiritual being, and one strange sight that struck me as being very peculiar was this: in the particular place where I was bound for the physical bodies of the inhabitants were asleep, while the astral form of the individual was free to wander wheresoever it willed, and from every embodied spirit was a long stream of light, the life force connected with the physical body, which was at rest and in preparation for the work of the next day. I was glad to have it this way, for the astral forms of my dear ones were able to see me and I could talk to them as I could not have done had they been in the normal waking state. They never knew just when the physical body would pull upon the life cord drawing the astral back into the body. In this case we would be obliged to part for a while. I was glad, however, to have a good talk with the dear mother and to tell her not to grieve for me when she awoke, and found me gone. The material plane itself seemed quite inferior to the new country I had found, still it was the abiding place of those I loved and as such was worthy of my loving interest. I was interested in embodied and disembodied spirits as I saw them meet in loving communion upon the astral. To many whose lives were hard and unpleasant in the waking state it was the only source of pleasure that they had and made a bright spot that could not fail to be appreciated. Not all the archangels can tell the joys of that holiest place, where the Father is pleased to reveal the light of his heavenly face. Wesley, Chapter V. Life in the Spheres. Content in this chapter: return to the spirit world, death, a new birth, multitudes passing over, visit to the spheres, dark sphere, progress to the first sphere and so on, everyone in his proper place, fourth sphere, an angel, fifth sphere, family love, the life of increasing knowledge, plenty of time for study, Rome of children and guardian angels, sphere of purity. I did not fail to visit all of my dear ones, and returned to the spirit world regretting that the inhabitants of the material plane could not all know of the grand and beautiful life in the beyond. It was such a delight to realize that I could go anywhere that I desired, and that I had the privilege to visit any point on earth, in the spirit world, or heaven. Surely/thought I, the change called death is but a higher birth and a condition very much to be desired. There were crowds of people journeying to and from the earth. I could see many little children, some so tiny that they had to be borne in the arms of their guardian angels. It was a novelty to the spirit children, who could not realize, of course, that they were now dead to the world, and were journeying toward a new land where they would grow and unfold in wisdom, knowledge and beauty. It was interesting to see the children who had been crippled and blind and who were now able to see and walk for the first time. They could scarcely contain themselves, they were so happy. They seemed like little birds who had just found their wings. It was not a pleasant sight to come in contact with those who had passed out of the body sinful and wicked. I was pleased to see that many of the so-called undeveloped spirits were being taught in the lower spheres, and that they were endeavoring to reach the way to progression by helping themselves through the aid of others to a higher plane of understanding. Upon my return trip, I desired to visit each sphere and to learn the laws by which the Creator's large family were kept in such a state of harmony and goodwill. There were many undeveloped spirits wandering about the earth, and there were others confined in the dark sphere, but there was hope for all, and as there was no satisfaction to them in such a life, the majority would after a time endeavor to, by their good work and the desire for something higher, reach the first sphere, and after they had learned the lesson of this sphere and could impart the knowledge to some other spirit who was anxious to enter the first sphere, they could then pass up into the second sphere and so on up through the different spheres. I found that each individual occupied his proper place, and so in this way harmony prevailed. An undeveloped spirit did not dwell in the spheres with those whose desires were purely spiritual. In the fourth sphere a spirit becomes an angel, and with this step he had conquered all material tendencies or selfish characteristics. The fifth sphere is the sphere of family love. Families wait in this sphere for many years for their loved ones to pass to spirit life. I liked the sixth sphere, everything there is so bright and beautiful. My new life had only begun now, and I was anxious to take up the duties of such a life. I was glad to learn that I could take up any line of study that I desired and could improve and perfect myself in many branches of learning if I would only apply myself. I decided to do this, and my life became a very busy one, but this did not prevent me from visiting each day my father, mother, husband and children. There seemed to be no limitation of time in that grand and beautiful world. Since we did not sleep and there was no night, there was plenty of time for study. I was delighted with my own beautiful home, and new pleasures were continually awaiting me. I was anxious to perfect myself in music and art, and I lost no time in taking these up. I was also interested in scientific investigation, and very much so in the instructive lectures delivered by learned men in the Great Hall of Science in the Celestial Sphere. I was much interested in the children's homes. They appeared like great marble palaces, and within were thousands of little children being reared and educated under the law of divine love. I saw there the tiniest sparks of life, who had never opened their eyes to material things but had been brought here to grow up in knowledge, love and wisdom. All infants were able here to walk and move, but not all could ascend and descend. That was a power which they would all acquire after being there a short time. In the beautiful homes I have mentioned were to be found many guardian angels, as well as kind skilled women whose life tendencies were toward the caring for and bringing up of little children. It was a very happy thought to realize how well God's children were provided for. One sphere many times larger than the earth was called the sphere of purity. Everything was white in this sphere: the buildings, the ground, the grass, the foliage upon the trees and all the flowers. A person might understand from this description that the sphere of purity might appear cold and lifeless. Such was not the case. It was most beautiful, with a soft, rose-colored light shining over its dazzling beauty. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Revelations, chapter 21, 3rd and 4th verses. Chapter 7. The Celestial Life. Content in this chapter: everything, beautiful and instructive, the brother companion, the new life of vivid reality, the Savior, Michelangelo's home in the celestial sphere, opportunities unlimited, the celestial chamber in Joseph Samson's mansion, soul senses, awakened and dominant, experiences, incomprehensible to the material mind, reception at Rome, eternity, life of helpfulness and soul growth. How beautiful it is to be an inhabitant of such a wonderful land. This fact became more deeply impressed upon my mind as I grew and unfolded in my new life. I found a great deal to interest me in each sphere, and it seemed that there was always something new to charm my sight and hearing. I was so happy, and how I longed for the time when I could carry the heavenly message to the dear ones far away on the earth. The dear brother was a continual delight to me. He seemed during his years in the heavenly world to have absorbed a wealth of knowledge, and then he was such an inspiring teacher. I was never weary of learning from him. After a time, the new life became so natural to me that it seemed as though I had always known all it, and was no longer a dream but a grand and beautiful reality. With my studies, my music and art, the companionship of new friends that I had found since I became an inhabitant of the heavenly world, the delightful musicals and instructive lectures, the time passed very pleasantly. Shortly after passing over, I was brought into the presence of that grand character who is known to the world as the Savior. I was deeply impressed with his tenderness and gentle manner, and his presence was such as to inspire one with the desire to be good and true. After coming in contact with this purely spiritual character, I felt stronger and better than I ever had before. It was an inspiration that remained within my soul. I was delighted with a visit made to the home of Michelangelo in the celestial sphere. There, works of art were most magnificent, and this visit only added another delightful reminiscence to my store of beautiful experiences. It was so grand to think that one was not limited in his desires in this heavenly world. Buildings, music halls, scientific laboratories and lecture halls were open to the public. There was always an instructive lecture to attend if one so desired, and the music halls and concerts were so inspiring. Those who had been limited on earth and who had desired to hear Jenny Lind or Emma Abbott sing could listen to their music in the music halls of heaven. There were all the poets: Longfellow, Whittier, Tennyson, Holmes, Bryant, Emerson, Goldsmith and others, all possessing magnificent homes and entertaining in royal style. Such a life as the one that I had found was certainly greatly to be desired. To think that one might go on through all eternity, receiving instruction, developing and unfolding in an atmosphere of the most elevated thought was a privilege greatly valued by those who were inmates of this wonderful world. I spent many delightful hours in the home of my ancestor described during the early part of my spiritual life. The celestial chamber was a continual delight to me. The collection of curious and beautiful creations furnished me with inspiring thoughts, such strange creations gathered from the celestial sphere. I sometimes wondered that I had the power to comprehend them. I realized if certain senses in my soul had not been awakened after I had laid aside my physical body that I would not have been able to see the objects at all. They would have been as far from my comprehension as heaven or an angel would be beyond the comprehension of a worm of the dust. I understood well that certain senses of the immortal soul remain in a dormant state while one is in the physical body, unless by deep thought and concentration they are awakened and brought into life. The awakening of these soul senses will serve to make the physical plane a more beautiful and pleasant place than it is, and a great deal of sin, sorrow, pain and poverty could be done away, if the sixth, seventh and eighth senses were developed instead of only the first, second, third, fourth and fifth, the fifth being dormant in a great many individuals. How wonderful possibilities are folded away in the soul of an infant, and how carefully and tenderly these possibilities, intellectual, should be brought out, if one would improve the earthly conditions. There were many experiences through which I passed, and many objects that charmed my sight which would be utterly incomprehensible to the material mind if I should attempt to give a description of them. I must reserve them for some time in the future, when the mind of man has unfolded some of its latent powers: the affairs of heaven, the grand review of angels, the flower carnival, the celebration of archangels, the apostolic festival, the family reunion and many others too numerous to mention, filled my soul with elevated thoughts. These things so far exceeded anything held upon the material plane that there was no comparison. There were lessons to be found in all things if one would only see them by divine light and understanding. It was not long after my entrance to the heavenly world that I held a reception in my own home. The soft, inspiring music, the beautiful lights, the spiritual faces of the angels, the flowing white robes and the loosened hair of my angelic guests formed a picture never to be forgotten by those who witnessed it. I was happier than I had ever been. How I wished that my babies, my darling mother, and husband might have mingled with the guests as they glided through the rooms of my home, passing the time in music and pleasant thought. My angel brother was quite a lion upon this occasion. To look at him was an inspiration, and when he spoke my guests were charmed, so grand was his voice and so beautiful his spoken thoughts. Once again did I wish that his mother might see him. Such scenes were more beautiful than those witnessed upon the material plane, for the thoughts of all were pure and elevated and furnished food for the soul. I thought, how different is this from the idea that people hold of the spiritual world being a place where the sanctified walk about a white throne singing hymns continually, and how much more satisfying to the active life of the spiritual body. I was very glad that the Creator had designed his works in a way so thoroughly pleasing to his children. During my early experiences in the spirit world, I would try to comprehend the meaning of eternity, and finally it dawned upon my mind that I was living in eternity. Eternity is today, and tomorrow is eternity, and throughout all time there is opportunity to grow nearer toward godly perfection, nearer toward the truth, nearer toward complete happiness. The very restlessness that causes the soul to soar upward either as an embodied or disembodied spirit is an indication of its higher growth, and so I thought what I learn now will prepare me for higher lessons that are to come later on, and my soul was so eager to acquire its daily lessons. As I grew and developed, I found more satisfaction in life than ever before. The experiences of my life were varied, and there was no condition that I found monotonous. Early in the morning, while the world which I visited was in sleep, I would go to my loved ones for a while and bring to them the vibrations from a better land. Sometimes they were receptive to these vibrations, and at other times they could not receive my help in the smallest degree. Sometimes after leaving my loved ones I would take a short trip somewhere upon the earth. I found a great deal to interest me, but there were no scenes so beautiful as those I could see in the heavenly world, and so I was always happy to return to them. A few hours spent with my studies, then more time in the pleasant companionship of dear friends, then a lecture or concert or the privilege of witnessing some scientific experiment soon to be given to the world through the brain of some receptive individual, and then after this, a pleasant walk over the beautiful grounds of my home with my beloved brother, my angelic guide, or with my own soul. In the latter case, I would spend a pleasant hour in reflection and companionship with my own soul. What a wonderful life it was! No time wasted, but all spent in helping the soul to grow and unfold its mighty powers. Sometimes it would be a visit to the lower spheres to help and instruct some undeveloped spirit who desired to rise, then again there would be a call to the earth plane to a scene of accident where many lives were to go out, some lives needing assistance to help them to the spirit world. And so my life glided along, peacefully and pleasantly, through 3 years of spiritual life. I have gained much, my soul has grasped many lessons of truth and wisdom, but it is only in the beginning of spiritual knowledge. I trust that it may have many new and wonderful truths to tell you as this journal is continued, at some future date. Thoughts of Heaven. I am sitting alone in the twilight, in the hush of the closing day, and a feeling of rapture steals over me, and my thoughts they are far away. I am thinking tonight of Heaven, that beautiful land so fair, of the angels so pure and spotless, who dwell in harmony there. I have heard of that beautiful country, that God in His wisdom has made. I have heard of its joys supernal, of its flowers that never fade. I have longed to walk through that city, that beautiful land of my dreams, where dross is not mixed with the golden, and life there is just what it seems. I have pictured often the Saviour, with his matchless face all aglow, walking among his disciples, in raiment all white like the snow. My enraptured vision comes as something that seems like a spell. I have caught just a glimpse of that country, far away where the angels dwell. I can hear the glad strains of their music, as softly it comes floating near, oh, rapturous tones of heaven, falling so sweetly on my ear. But alas, it has gone all too quickly. My vision of heaven is o'er, and I think of life and its promise, as I never had thought before. And I think how far from God's purpose the most of our lives are led. We are so weak, my Father, calling to thee for bread. We should make life an example strong with truth, faith and love, make our lives a structure that shall rise to the heights above. Angel's Diary. Second Part, Chapter I. Through the Gates of Paradise. Content in this chapter. The summer land where the many mansions, rapturous music, the beautiful gateway, unimaginable realities, scenery of every variety, homes in the eternal world, palaces, mansions, cottages, children's homes, temples of art and music, lecture halls, lectures at a distance, scenes transferred from afar. Far away beyond the boundaries of the material plane is a glorious land, a land of eternal summer, where the fragrance of flowers floats softly upon the air. This beautiful land is the abode of those who have vacated the house of Clary to take up their residence from now on through all eternity in a life of sweetest harmony and most perfect peace. In this glorious summer land are the many mansions not built by hands, but eternal in the heavens, not built to crumble and decay, but created to endure through all time. Strains of rapturous music float soft and free over the fair green hills of this beautiful land. A beautiful gateway guards the entrance to paradise that offers a wonderful promise to many whose spiritual eyes have been opened for the first time. It seems to speak of the promise to the soul: lay down your burdens, weary one, for here is perfect rest. Paradise is the heaven that awaits God's fair blossoms, the little children who have blossomed on earth to bloom above. It is the abode of those who have laid aside the weaknesses of the material body. What glorious realities are to be found within that paradise of the blessed, such scenes as have never been imagined by the material mind: grand old trees bending down upon one side with different varieties of fruit, and upon the other side a perfect mass of pink and white bloom, flower gardens whose equal has never been seen before. Not all the glorious wealth of floral beauty and vegetation of the tropics can be compared to that found in the summerland above. The beautiful colors that play softly upon the creations of heaven add an indescribable beauty to the scene. There are rivers, lakes and mountains to be found in the eternal land, but they are as clear as crystal, and an inhabitant of that plain may walk through its waters and come forth strengthened and highly spiritualized. Small craft built of iridescent shells and festooned with lovely flowers glide dreamily over the surface of the water, the banks upon all sides being brilliant with tinted sand of various colors. One may see angelic beings in white robes with loosely flowing hair gliding softly over the surface of the ground or floating leisurely through the air, some conversing with one another, others lifting the voice in song, some beautiful angelic beings bearing in their arms tiny babies who have been carried from the earth plane to this glorious land of mighty love and eternal peace. If the mothers of such little ones could only see, how differently they would feel. The homes to be found in the eternal land are not of a sameness, although all are lovely. There are small homes completely overgrown with flowering vines, and those who dwell within are there because they like such a home. They feel more content than they would in a fine mansion or gorgeous palace. There are cooperative homes where hundreds of people live together in the most perfect harmony without the drudgery of material work, all things being run upon the most approved plan: no cooking, no sweeping, no sewing or housework of any kind, for the spiritual body needs nothing of this kind. There are homes devoted entirely to young people where a literary, social and musical life may be enjoyed by those dwelling within such a home. There are palaces and mansions for those who desire them. There are colleges of science where students work out mighty problems and experiments. Those interested in this line find their homes in such colleges, since the spiritual body never sleeps or becomes weary from its work. There are the mighty temples of art and music, the lecture halls, the beautiful homes for the children, and the palaces of the great writers and artists, where receptions are held daily, and where one may meet with noted people, as the great men and women of the eternal world are at work with the creations of their souls. Naturally, when a reception is held at the home of Beecher, Longfellow or any other gifted angel, the conversation drifts to the latest work of some great artist, poet, musician or inventor. Many things are discussed that the inhabitants of the material plane are not ready for yet, but will be someday when man has learned to develop his latent faculties. To those who are interested in such things, instructive lectures are being given continually that furnish food for the soul desiring unfoldment. The works of art in the higher world are all upon pure and lofty subjects. Frequently there are meetings where there is no lecturer present, he being somewhere in one of the spheres and sending his thoughts to the listeners, who are gathered together and who are enabled to hear every word without even a wireless telegraph. In many of the gatherings, scenes that are transpiring in the different spheres are sent and transferred by means of vision that all may see through the power of the subconscious mind. There are many wonderful things that take place within the Eternal City, events of which I shall speak at some future time. Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? St. Paul. Chapter 2. Grand View Op Angels, the Temple Op Light. Content in this chapter. Temple of Light, magnificent creation, immense concourse of angels, multitudes from everywhere, gift of the Spirit, procession in review, millions in small space, angelic choir, great masters, every angel receives a blessing, grandeur of the ceremony. Beyond the boundary of the material world in the celestial sphere is situated the Temple of Light. It is the most magnificent creation ever raised in the name of God. It is made of opalescent material radiating every color of the rainbow. It sheds its tinted light upon all objects that are in its vicinity. It resembles a mighty palace, of opal stone. Its dimensions are very spacious. It has towers, turrets and domes. Its columns are fluted and carved in beautiful design. In this temple is held once a year the Grand Review of Angels. Upon this occasion all the inhabitants of the spiritual and heavenly worlds must gather in this temple to pass in Grand Review and receive the gift of the Spirit, which will help them to progress during the coming year. Upon the occasion of the Grand Review of Angels, it is a very beautiful sight to see the inhabitants of the spirit world coming from all directions to meet in one grand conclave in the Temple of Light, some floating through the air, others gliding along with feet that scarcely touch the ground, bearing garlands of flowers, or showering them over the pathway for those who are following in the rear. All inhabitants of the spirit world look forward to this occasion with much delight, as it certainly is very beautiful. If mothers who grieve for the little ones, who have left them to go, they know not where, could see them in the midst of all the grandeur and beauty of the Temple of Light, they would say, "It is well, my child is far better off than he would be amid the trials and temptations of the material world." The streams of white-robed angels and spirits as they pass into the temple through apparently closed walls is a sight never to be forgotten by those who have the privilege of witnessing it. This temple, you understand, has been created just as have been the sun, moon and stars. It has been created to endure throughout all time. The ground surrounding the temple is in keeping with its grandeur, beautiful flowers, grand old trees, terraced banks, fountains carved in the form of angels sending up rainbow-tinted spray, scenes more beautiful than any material eye has ever witnessed. One marvelous feature of the conclave is this: no matter how many millions of angels meet together, there is no crowding or pushing or straining of necks to see what is going on. The scene is visible to all eyes. The music, from a choir composed of thousands of voices, is so harmoniously blended that there is not one harsh, discordant note, but only the most exquisite tones. Within the Temple of Light upon the occasion I have mentioned may be heard the most rapturous music.